Cheryl and I talked about this on the way this morning. She said, "You're just hard. You know it?" Yeah, I said, "I know. I'm just a hard young man." She said, "You can stand things the rest of us can't stand." I said, "I know, because I was raised up in a hard environment." Some of you men know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys had to work for a living out in the hay fields and all the stuff and chopping cotton. You know, if you're raised up like that, you know what I mean, don't you, Grandma? You know what I mean. But those that have been raised up in the air conditioning, you know, and the comforts of life, if you have to get out there in the heat, it's hard on you. And people die out there. But that's don't bother me at all. You know, I was raised up like Keith. You know, I mean, on a 100-degree day in the morning out there on the job site with them guys, 15 minutes, you're soaking wet from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You stay that way all day, right?
All day.
So it's just a way of life. I did it all those years. No big deal. You know, so just like yesterday. I mean, yesterday, the air conditioning in our 421 don't work. I mean, it's quit working. I don't know what's wrong with it. I got to check it. Hadn't had time. But it was 100-plus degrees yesterday, and again, the clouds were low yesterday, and so I flew 3,500 feet. I didn't want to go up and have to file IFR and do an IFR to VFR on top and all that stuff, and then have to coming back into the Metroplex is not the best of deal, you know, when you're a little airplane trying to get back in. You know, it's sometimes they vector you all over the place, and I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to come straight across, so I flew at 3,500 feet. What is 100 degrees in an airplane? You know, I mean, the air is hot. You know, it's definitely not cool. We got home, Cheryl was out of it. I mean, as soon as we got to the house, she got in the car, cranked up the car, turned the air conditioner on, and passed out in the front seat. I'm putting the airplane up, doing everything. I mean, I'm wheeling and dealing. I told her, I said, I had to love her, had to pray over her, had to pet her, had to do everything, you know. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was turbulent, too. I'll have to say it was bouncy underneath those clouds. You know, we were bouncing all the time, you know, but it wasn't bad, you know. But if you're a hard man, it's not bad. If you're a soft, gentle, sweet little thing like her. Some of you girls know what I mean. Some of you people know what I mean. Some of us are hard and some of us are not. But I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you all this to bring you down to the point that we as Christians, we can't be wimps. We got to be tough. But we got to be tough in love. You know, you got to walk holy. You got to walk in obedience to the Word. But when the devils of hell come up on you, you don't panic. You realize you're a daughter of the King. You have power over that. You know that? Do you really know that? Yes, you do. You have power over that. Now, let me show you some scriptures. Isaiah 53:4-5. In Matthew 17, what did he say there? If we had faith, what can we do? What's impossible with us if we believe God? What? Did I hear you right? Nothing's impossible? So what does that mean? We can do all things as children of God if we believe, right? Now, if the unbelief is crept in there, and you're not willing to be that hard person, you're not willing to stand in the spirit world. I mean, it's tough standing in the spirit world. It's far tougher than having to get out there and be in the hay. It's far tougher. I mean, some of you can accumulate over time, getting out and working hard and diligent, and you can become a hard person. I mean, I can think of some of the men that I knew. I can remember when my dad was 70, about 77, I guess it was. He had been in the hospital and he smoked all his life. My dad was a smoker. It burnt his lungs up. And by the time he was 75 or 76, somewhere along there, he had to go in the hospital and the doctor took a part of a lung out. And that doctor told me, said, "Thurman, if I'd had to take any more lung out of your dad than I did, he would have died on the operating table." Said his lungs are like a burnt up charcoal briquette. See, he had done it to himself. He had smoked all of his life. But my dad was a hard working man. And after that, and after surgery, 3 months after he had the surgery, I come home one day, and he was sitting there in an easy chair out under the carport, breeze blowing through. I said, "How you doing, Dad?" And he was all depressed. He said, "I ain't doing no good, son." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I went up there yesterday to try to pull the pipe out of my well to put a new set of leathers in it. And he said, I couldn't even lift that pipe." Now, he's up on a 25 or 30-foot tower, standing on top of it. He's 75, 76 years old, 90 days before he's had surgery, and he's trying to pick up 160 foot of 1-inch pipe by hand. And he can't do it. There ain't a man in this room could do that today. There ain't one of you. I don't care who you are. You can't pick it up. But he used to do that. I used to see my dad take a 55-gallon barrel of diesel. You know how much diesel fuel weighs? Almost 7 pounds to the gallon. And 55, that just computes to what? 350 to 380, somewhere between 350 and 400 pounds, right? I've seen my dad numerous times go out to that old 49 Ford pickup and take a barrel of diesel and tilt it over on the tailgate and reach down and grab it right here and flip it right up and flip it right side up in the back of that pickup. And he did never weigh more than 180 pounds in his life. The average young man in this room couldn't even tilt that barrel over today, much less flip it over in the back of that pickup. My dad grew up to be a hard man. He was tough. Because he lived in a world when men had to be tough or they died. Some of you older guys in here like me been there. Some of these younger guys now, I mean, if they got to do anything. You tell your kid, you live two blocks from the store, tell them to run down and get a gallon of milk. Give me the keys to the car. Well, walk. Oh, Dad, it's two blocks down there and it's 85 outside. Oh, that's hot, but all you're doing is sitting inside the air-conditioned house with a little deal flipping on your computer screen and watching some kind of video game. You don't get very tough like that. So if you have to go out and work, you die. And that's why we have the problem we have, because we're not tough. But look at what he's telling us in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Look at this. We already saw what he said in Matthew 7, 17. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Now, this is written over 700 years before this happened. Surely he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. It's already done. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Who is that for? That's for everybody that'll believe it. Amen. Now then, let's go back to Matthew 8. Let's go to Matthew 8, 13. Actually, we may need a couple of verses in front of that, Jordan, to get the idea. Matthew 8, maybe verse 11, and then we'll go there. And actually, even before that, a couple before that, let's go back to verse 8. Matthew 8, 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But you speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now see, this centurion knew and understood authority on earth. He knew he had men working for him and that those men had to be subject to him. I used to be a man of authority in the workplace. I worked directly for a VP on his staff and he gave me authority to be in control of a region. And they assigned me shops anywhere from 6, 8, 10 up to 35 at one time in a region. And when I walked into that place in the engineering world, I had authority. I had authority even over the general manager. You know, I was in charge because I can remember the guy in Houston. The general manager in Houston used to be so tight with his money, he would not spend the money he needed to keep the place going. And then whenever things would start falling apart and they couldn't keep things going, the VP would say, Thurman, go down there and see what in the world he's doing. Go down there and see what we need. He said, he's having too many mechanical failures down there. Go down there and see what's going on. I'd walk into place and I'd see all kinds of things that were wrong, things needed to be fixed. And I'd call people, I'd order stuff, I'd call contractors, I'd get them in here. And of course, I'd be there 3, 4, 5 days sometimes. When I'd get ready to leave, the GM would come and he'd say, well, you put my place back in good shape. I sure hated to see you come, but I knew I had to have you. But now that you're here, I'm sure am glad you're leaving, because I know you sure do spend a lot of my money. But see, I had dominion. I didn't have to ask him if I wanted to spend money. I walked in that place. I worked for a higher power. And it was the regional VP. And he held me responsible for all those places. So if I needed to spend money, I didn't have to ask nobody. I was in control. And all the men that worked for me, I was in authority. I tell them to do something, they done it. That's just the way the business world works. You know, if my VP told me to do something, did I argue with him? No. I just did what he said. He was in authority. He had been given authority over me. And if I wanted to work for them, all I got to do is keep them happy. Is that the way the world works? This man understood this. This man, this centurion, understood the physical world. And because he understood the physical world, now he knew Jesus had that kind of power in the spiritual world. See? He says, come, and he comes, and then next verse, Jordan. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What is Jesus looking for? Did this man have faith? What did Jesus say he had? He said he had great faith, didn't he? Now, the day that Peter walked on the water, and then he started sinking, Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. Now, if Peter had little faith and he could walk on water, that means I must not have hardly no faith, because I ain't never walked on water yet. Well, yeah, I take that back. I have walked on water a few times, but it was frozen.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.